Well, as we just saw on the video, today is officially Grandparents' Day. Even if you guys didn't realize it was Grandparents' Day, it still is, and you can't change it. And so I thought it would be appropriate to bring it to your attention. So it's the second Sunday in September. It's the National Grandparents' Day in Canada. And this holiday was finally recognized in 1995. Most of you should remember that year, after about 20 years of celebration in the U.S. It's presumably a day when we recognize and honor grandparents. Now, the original idea for a Grandparents' Day originated in the heart of a grandchild. And I suppose that that should be really expected in that while not all of us are grandparents, all of us are grandchildren. And another an interesting bit of trivia is that your grandparents, whether you realize this or not, directly impacted your ability to have children. Because if they didn't have any, you won't either. So it was 1969. And 9-year-old Russell Capper sends a letter to President Nixon suggesting a special day be set aside for Grandparents' Day. In June of that year, Russell received a letter back. That's quite interesting, from the president. Actually, it was from Rosemary Woods, who was the personal secretary to the president, and the letter read, "Dear Russell, thank you for your letter to President Nixon. Your suggestion regarding a Grandparents' Day is appreciated, but," there's always a but "the president ordinarily issues proclamations designating periods for special observance only when a congressional resolution authorizes him to do so. With best wishes, sincerely, Rosemary Woods, personal secretary to the president." In other words, well, thanks, but no thanks. Well, eventually, more and more people became involved in the push for a national recognition of grandparents. And in February 1977, Senator Randolph, with the concurrence of many other senators, introduced a joint resolution in Congress requesting the president to issue annually a proclamation designated the first Sunday of September after Labor Day of each year as National Grandparents' Day. And about a year and a half later, President Carter signed the proclamation. Well, we know the wheels of government turn slowly, but after about 10 years, Russell Capper's wish came true. So thanks to little Russell Capper and his desire to have his grandparents recognized. The statute cites the day's purpose: to honor grandparents, to give grandparents an opportunity to show love for their children's children, and to help children become aware of the strength, information, and guidance older people can offer. And the wheels of government in Canada turn even slower, and so Grandparents' Day was only officially recognized in 1995. Now, it's interesting to speculate why Mother's Day and Father's Day receive considerable attention in our culture. But by comparison, Grandparents' Day, as we just demonstrated this morning, tends to pass almost unnoticed. And you know, that just means that we grandparents don't seem to be getting our fair share of recognition. How many would agree with that? Yeah. Stay with me here. Now, to many in this time of our history, as we listen to the news, it seems that many people believe that our Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has called an election without a good reason for it. And so perhaps the Prime Minister could adopt the strengthening and resolve and commitment to Grandparents' Day as a reason for the election and kind of get people off that topic and that challenge. Our culture certainly tends to regard grandparents much differently than previous generations. Now, if we consider the culture of Bible times, we find that grandparents were indeed considered as sources of wisdom. Children sought the blessing of their parents, who also sought the blessing of their parents for their children. It was a common practice to take your children to their grandparents to receive a blessing from them. In those times, grandparents were seen as people to be cherished, a valuable source of wisdom gained from years of experience. Grandparents were also seen as people of spiritual influence. Now, I want to share with you, or have you check on the prayer that Jacob offered for his grandchildren. May the God before whom my grandfather Abraham and my father Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all of my life to this very day, the angel who has redeemed me from all harm, may he bless these boys. May they preserve my name and the names of Abraham and Isaac, and may their descendants multiply greatly throughout the earth. Couple things I want you to notice here. Jacob's prayer spans five generations. Five generations. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and Joseph's children. And I want you to notice how Jacob acknowledges the role that God had played as shepherd and protector in his life, and the life of his parents and grandparents. Now, when you think about this as grandparents, this kind of leads into the next part of our message this morning, which is simply, you have a unique opportunity, you have a unique position to be able to share with your children and your grandchildren how God has led you along through life, how he has protected you, he has sustained you, and he has kept you. And I want to encourage you this morning, don't miss out on that opportunity. Right? You are in a unique position to be able to share those kinds of things with your children and grandchildren. Now, Abraham and Isaac were imperfect people just like us. But those men provided Jacob and subsequently Jacob's children and Jacob's grandchildren with a legacy of faith, simply a life lived in faith before God. That's what we have the opportunity to do first and foremost. Live our lives based on faith in our Savior, faith in our God. Live it in a way that is demonstrating our faith to our kids and grandkids. Now, I think that many of us here today have been blessed with a similar legacy. How many have been blessed with a similar legacy of faith that comes behind you? Yeah, that's common. You know, my mother, well, she wasn't allowed to be called a pastor in those days. And whatever, she was a well-known speaker in her time and preached in many churches and was one of the city mission ladies who founded churches before they were accepted as being genuine churches by the Evangelical Missionary Church of Canada. And so ladies would team up with, in my mom's case, with another lady, and they would start what they called a work in a town. And my mom's case was Listowel. And one of her first supporters was David Illman's parents, who became part of that work. And eventually, when it became big enough and strong enough, they brought in a real pastor to take it over. And today, it's still a strong church, the Listowel Missionary Church. And so my mom and then myself, my son, as you know, preaches in a number of different forums. He'll be preaching in Mississauga this month. And so we've been blessed to have a legacy that has continued for at least three generations. But you know, many of us perhaps some of us would be able to say, well, I don't have that kind of legacy. But here's the thing that I want you to remember, is that regardless of what's gone on in the past, you have the opportunity and the privilege of starting a legacy. Amen. You have the opportunity to live that life of faith that can inspire and motivate the generation that's coming behind you. And I just encourage you to think about that daily as you pray for your kids and your grandparents. If you didn't have a legacy of faith, make sure you start one. These words of Jacob were words of encouragement, words to encourage the grandchildren to place their faith in God as their ancestors had done before them. In his letter to his young protege, Timothy, Paul acknowledges the influence of both Timothy's mother and his grandmother. And I'm sure you're familiar with this one because we use it often in Mother's Day messages. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, Paul writes, I remember your genuine faith. For you share the faith that has first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know the same faith continues strong in you. Now, we don't know exactly when Timothy came to faith in our Lord, but it would seem that Paul believed that he had been substantially influenced by his mother and grandmother. Now, as some of you know, we lived in Moscow, Russia, for a few years in the late 1990s. And it was an exciting time because the wall had come down, the Berlin Wall, and the Soviet Union had kind of fallen apart, and there was all kinds of new freedoms emerging. By that time in the late 90s, about 80 years or more had passed since the Russian Revolution had brought in communist and the communist government's determination to stamp out and eliminate Christianity completely. So almost the entire population for two generations, because we figure roughly 40 years is a generation. So for two generations, people had grown up in Russia with the church being persecuted and being prohibited from attendance and so on. Discussion about faith was just not possible. But it was amazing, and Connie and I thought about this different times to see that when the new freedom came, many were instantly once again practicing their Orthodox Christian faith. Just like that. You say, where did that come from? Churches were full. One Saturday we were down in Red Square, and it's kind of a you know, there's a lot of shopping there, and a lot of people just go down there to kind of hang out. And, you know, there's all kinds of churches. There's 11 churches within the walls of the Kremlin. Beautiful buildings. It's a great place to tour if you ever have the opportunity. But anyway, there's a church in Red Square that, and we noticed that this was a winter, cold winter day. Aren't all days in winter in Russia cold? I think so. But anyway, there we were, and there's this huge lineup associated with this door heading into this Russian Orthodox Church. We said, you know, what's going on? Well, me being me and Connie not quite being me, I said, the only way we're going to find out is we get in the line. So we got in the line and we slowly made our way to the church. And when we got inside, we saw that the lineup was there purely to receive communion. Now you think about that. That is an amazing story, given the fact that these people had for 80 years or more been told that God didn't exist and, you know, all that church stuff was poo-poo and, you know, on and on. People lining up in the snow in cold weather to go and have communion. The language of the people was still full of words and phrases that were centered on Christianity. Our secretary, who was roughly our age, at that time, when we traveled, and we traveled a lot in to Siberia and so on, she would always end up by wishing us Godspeed. Now, isn't that interesting? You know, even in Canada now, people would tend to wish us a safe trip or whatever. But this lady had language throughout her vocabulary that still carried the words of Christianity. But surely you would think that the passing of two generations would have eradicated all traces of Christianity. So the question is obvious: how is it possible that Christianity would survive two generations of Soviet repression? Professor Gordon Rupp, who's a British historian, was asked how the Russian church could survive the decades of persecution and communist propaganda. His answer was this. Please listen to this carefully. It's largely due to grandparents. He said the communists made the big mistake of thinking that because the church was only full of old people, it had no future. They failed to realize that grandparents have an impact on their grandchildren. The old Russian grandparents passed their faith on to their grandchildren. And that is why there is a new revival of Christianity in Russia. Did you hear me?
Yep.
Grandparents have the ability to influence the next generation. Wow. Wow. I could elaborate on that, but we haven't time this morning. Some amazing things were going on in Russia with respect to Christianity. Many grandchildren in our country live day after day without exposure to Sunday school, church, or Christian parents. The importance of our influence as grandparents cannot be overemphasized. You may well be the only Christian influence they receive. Our children and grandchildren simply are our first mission field.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
That's our first mission field. I think that, you know, today we're generous. As grandparents, I think we're really generous. And I think, how many of you find it easy to be generous with your grandchildren? You spoilers. One study suggests that grandparents spend an average of $200 per year per grandchild. If you're going to do that, I suggest you talk to your kids about how many children they're going to have. Some might even think it necessary, unfortunately, to spend even more lavishly on their grandchildren in order to receive their love, and that's kind of a sad commentary on our materialistic society. And others may be frustrated that in their particular financial situation, it may be prevents them from sharing much in the way of monetary resources. But remember this. All of us who are grandparents do well to remember that gift of grandmother Lois to grandson Timothy. There's no mention of money in that gift, although she might have done so, we don't know. But the gift that she gave, the gift of faith, towered above any monetary gift that could have been offered, and it grounded Timothy in the faith. You know, money is only tangible for the moment. It's what we call in the business community, it's a consumable. It has a purpose. You buy things, they're used up, and it's gone. But the influence of Grandma Lois lasted Timothy a lifetime. Your influence, folks, is so important. What are some of the other ways that we can influence grandchildren? I've taken some of these thoughts from a writer named Deborah Haddix. She says, the first gift you can give is the gift of unconditional love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 to 7, ESV says this. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant nor rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Grandparents can give their grandchildren the very precious gift of unconditional love. She writes, "Wrap your grandchild in a love that does not fluctuate according to his or her words and actions." You know, it's easy to be discouraged when we see people doing things or saying things that don't kind of meet with our standards. She writes, "Not a fan of tattoos or piercings or strange hairstyles." She says, "Look beyond it and love your grandchild anyway." Have a special needs grandchild, one who is defiant or from an unwanted pregnancy, offer them the gift of unconditional love by treating them as the image bearer of God that they are. Sometimes it's hard for us to remember that. But regardless of where people are in their journey through life, they remain an image bearer of God, the creator of all life. Rather than holding grudges and trying to fix people and situations, unconditional love offers forgiveness even when unwise choices have been made. So love unconditionally. Secondly, she writes, the gift of intentional talk. "Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." I'm sure that if you're like me, you've been in situations at times where people have just such a bitter spirit about government and are running down government or running down this or running down that. And these conversations are going on with lots of young ears listening. Influence of the wrong kind, not building up. How we need to check our words to ensure, particularly when we are influencing children and grandchildren and young people, that our words are, in fact, building up. Words are powerful, and in the hands of a grandparent, they become a gift of incomparable value. She writes, "Think about it. You have so much to share with your grandkids. One of the ways you can use the gift of intentional talk is to help your grandchild get to know God. Use your words to give testimony to the goodness and greatness of God. Declare his power and his wonders. Recount his mighty works. Share the glory of his kingdom. Proclaim his attributes. And to those words, your family, God's stories." You know, most of us, and I'm guilty here, most of us have made a great error by not journaling or recording some of the great things that God has done for us down through the years. And we remember them certainly for a few days and a few weeks and a few months and maybe even a year or two, but we tend to forget where God has helped us enormously in the past. And because we have forgotten, we're not able to share those stories with our grandchildren. But certainly as you can, think about how God has kept you and sustained you, how he's met your needs over the years. Remind yourself to share those stories, those God stories, those family God stories with your kids and grandkids. Another very important way to give the gift of intentional talk is to use your words to build up your grandchild. Look for ways to speak words of appreciation, affirmation, and sincere praise, and speak them often. Thirdly, she writes, the gift of prayer. Lamentations chapter 2, verse 19. "Arise, cry out in the night, at the beginning of the night watches. Pour out your heart like water before the presence of the Lord. Lift your hands to him for the lives of your grandchildren who faint for hunger at the head of every street." You know, as I read this verse, I see here evidence of considerable emotion on the part of the one who is writing. Considerable concern, considerable passion for the grandchild that he's praying for. Do you pray for your grandchildren with passion? Do you take the time every day to just get with the Lord and pray with him. This summer I've been walking first thing in the morning and praying, and it's a wonderful experience. And I just wish, and it's a selfish wish, of course, that God wouldn't change the seasons, because it's getting darker and darker to walk at that time of the morning. But it's a great experience to be out, to take the time to deliberately pray for all of the needs in our lives. Yes, she writes, other people can give the gift of prayer to your grandkids, but no one can give it in quite the same way. Think about that. The regular, consistent, specific prayers of a grandparent are one of the greatest investments that can ever be made, and with very little or no money involved. Consider a grandparent's prayers help God accomplish his purpose through the lives of grandchildren. Grandparents' prayers can stop Satan's schemes and powers toward grandchildren and helps equip grandkids to stand fast in the faith. And additionally, she writes, one of the wonderful things about this gift is that it blesses the giver abundantly. You're looking for the Lord's blessing? Take time to pray for your grandchildren. It will be a blessing. Amen. When grandparents pray for their children, relationships are strengthened, generational and distance gaps are diminished, uncontrollable burdens are released to God, and we are drawn closer to God. A grandparent's gift of prayer has eternal impact. Amen. Fourthly, the gift of a gospel-shaped life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22 and 23, Paul writes, to the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. Our grandchildren are growing up in a culture of chaos and confusion. That fact scares us sometimes to the point of anxiety, fear, and even hopelessness. That may be your case today, where when you look at what's going on in our culture and you think about where your kids are and your grandkids are, it's really concerning. But instead of sitting by and wringing our hands, we can offer them the gift of a gospel-shaped life. For their sake, we can proclaim God as creator, share the truth of the Bible with deliberate deliberation, and model the giving of honor and thanks to God. Through the decisions we make, the way we spend our time, and the things we occupy ourselves with, we can be vessels that carry the gospel to our grandchildren. Fifthly, she writes, the gift of a biblical worldview. Therefore, as you have received Christ the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition, according to the eternal spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. So we have the opportunity to live a gospel-shaped life. Live it before your grandchildren with all of your heart. Now, I'm always happy when something happens that kind of confirms the direction of a message or whatever I'm trying to do. Now, I want to ask you a question this morning. We sang a little chorus a few minutes ago called, Lord, Prepare Me to Be a Sanctuary. Can you remember when we sung that the last time? Am I right in saying it's been a long time? Am I right in saying that we don't sing it often? Well, here's a little affirmation. Lastly, I say there's an old chorus, the lyrics of which go, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. And with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Isn't that a neat affirmation that I think all of us needed to hear this message? There are many grandchildren in the world today in desperate need of a sanctuary. Some of them need a sanctuary just of the basic necessities of life, a place to live, food to eat, clothes to wear. In Haiti, for example, HIV has claimed the lives of many parents, leaving children with no support except who? Their grandparents. And now COVID adds to that challenge, as many people are dying, particularly the elderly. My friend that I work with in Kenya in the last 10 days has had 11 funerals from COVID. You think about the amount of children and grandchildren that are left as a result of that tragedy. There are countless other cases where fathers, or in less frequent cases, mothers, abandon their children, or where marital discord introduces substantial stress and anxiety into young, impressionable lives. We spent, this is kind of a family weekend celebration, and we were with Connie's family most of the weekend, and her sister, bless her, has fostered kids for a number of years, and there's a young man there who's 17, and they've been looking after him for a few years, and just a quiet kid and loves to fish, spent the whole weekend fishing. And so I was saying to Brenda, so what happens when he turns 18? Now he comes to legal age. Where's he going to go? Well, his mother died. His father wants absolutely nothing to do with him. And his only hope for family is a sister who, interestingly enough, has been adopted by a family in another town. And you know, he's just one of the countless cases of people in our society who are in desperate need of a sanctuary. So perhaps you find yourself in a situation where you have an opportunity to be a sanctuary to a grandchild, perhaps going through trouble at home, perhaps a home that's been broken or partially broken or is disrupted or non-functional. Would you take up the challenge of seeing yourself as a sanctuary? And would you be brave enough, be bold enough to keep your eyes and your ears open for an opportunity where you might provide that sanctuary to someone else in need, perhaps someone in our community, not necessarily in your biological connection, but someone who God puts in your path that simply needs a sanctuary? Amen.
Amen.
Tough challenge. Amen. Lord, as we close today, may we not forget quickly the great challenge that faces us as being believers. The great challenge that faces us as being grandparents and parents. The great challenge that faces us in a society that is largely working through chaos. Children hurting. Teenagers lost in desperate need. Lord, will you help us to think anew about our role as grandparents? Would you continue to challenge us? Would you help us be brave enough to sing that song with meaning? Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Amen. I'm going to ask our band.